Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 9:08 on a Thursday, and in the room is Michelle Randall. I'm kidding. She's not here. Michelle Randall is under the weather, so we have a couple of good sports who agreed, I think mostly last minute, to come on and be on the show. Shane Moore is here, the St. George City Recreation Director. Hi, Shane. How are you?
Hi. Good to see you.
And Danielle Larkin. Danielle is famous for, I don't know, what are you famous for? A lot of cool things, right?
I make good granola.
Make good granola.
That's what I'm famous for.
She is
for.
Really good at biking, cycling, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if I'm good at it, but I love it.
And are you... As a cyclist, are you one of those that goes off trail and is out there in the mountains climbing things and stuff?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I like to ride all sorts of bikes, so I like to be out. Yeah, I mean, you can't live here in this beautiful environment and not ride off trail.
Have you ever, we were talking about Jeremy and broken collarbones and stuff. Have you ever taken a pretty bad tumble?
I've taken some tumbles, but I've spent a lot more time taking my husband to the hospital because of his bad tumbles.
Your husband is
Jeremy's cousin.
Okay.
Yep, I'm married to Jeremy's cousin, and the last break was the collarbone on one side and the arm on the other side.
How
so
did he do that? He must have hit and rolled or something.
Yeah, he flipped over on a steep decline.
Have you broken anything while else?
No, I must have more solid bones than him.
Or maybe you're not as...
Or maybe I'm not as adventurous
daring.
Is
what
I was
going to say stupid, but that wouldn't have been nice. So not as daring and adventurous.
That's probably, yes, true.
Well, welcome to the show. And I really appreciate both of you coming in here. And like I said, it wasn't kind of the plan originally, but you're here now. And we have lots to talk about, too.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So let's start off with Dixie Days. How has Dixie Days been received by the community?
You know, the feedback we're getting is fantastic. We've had so much fun this week. It's just fun to celebrate Dixie and understand why we're called Dixie. That was kind of the impetus for it, was people questioning why the name Dixie in Utah. And so the mayor started Dixie Days this year. This is the inaugural Dixie Days. And we opened the Pioneer Park Interpretive Trail.
Yeah.
Up along Pioneer Park, if you haven't seen it, Shane's team did a fantastic job. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It turned out really good. We have some talented people that work for the city, but these guys really knocked it out of the park, I think.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So some of the other activities we've done, I went on all the tours yesterday. So we did tours of historic spaces.
Treks, they're calling them, right?
Treks. Dixie Treks. Yes, the Dixie Treks were incredible. Most people don't know that there was an explosion and there was oil drilling down south, actually really near Silver Reef Brewery.
Really?
Is where it is, yeah. And they're working on some interpretive signage so that that historical space is recognized. But that was one of the tours. Very interesting. 10 people were killed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
really
it's
tragic,
one of those historic tragedies
that
people
like
don't talk
about. Like 100 years ago or?
A little less than 100 years ago.
Yeah, 1930s.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to work on a memorial right now, and so they want to really memorialize the spot. But it was a horrible tragedy because people's family were there, and you think about 10 people getting wiped out of a community of 10,000 people. That's, I mean, everybody knew everybody back then. And
yeah, there were also some springs. There are springs. There's one called Watercress Spring that's up off the Dixie, or off Red Hills golf course that we got to tour. So just lots of fun things and great history, great reminders of the amazing people who founded this area. Also, you know, talking about the native peoples who were here first. It's been a beautiful and wonderful weekend. It carries on. So the rodeo is the next 3 days, and that's the culmination of Dixie Days. Also, there's a dinner on Main Street Friday night. There's still just a couple tickets left.
Dinner on Main.
Main Street will be closed down, and there will be tables down Main Street and a beautiful, fancy dinner. So we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can just go to the St. George City website to see Dixie Days, and that's where you can find the links to buy those last tickets. So if you're interested, it's going to be really neat.
Let's go back to the name a little bit. It wasn't that long ago, a couple of years ago, that the Dixie name, you know, the university was changing its name. There were a lot of people up in arms about the name Dixie and you know, that we were losing our identity. And, of course, a lot of us were like, the Dixie spirit, that means something completely different than what everybody else, you know, maybe down south thinks it means or whatever, you know. And so I when I first heard about Dixie Days, Danielle and Shane, I was like, this is, I think, a good thing because it lets people know that the leadership of our community here is not ashamed of the name Dixie. In fact, you have a festival called Dixie Days. You must be proud of it, right?
Yeah, it has a history here that, you know, people are really honored to be part of Utah's Dixie, because what that meant in Utah was coming south to grow cotton in a really harsh environment.
A really harsh environment.
So
no air conditioners back then.
Yeah.
And really, people had to depend on each other so much. And that's really, you know, when we listened to Steve Snow and Lyman Hafe, and they helped us with the Dixie signage up at our interpretive trail, that they really talked about how the Dixie spirit really started with the community having to pull together because it was such a harsh environment.
The water. I mean, they had to figure out a way to get water to different places so they could actually just survive.
Right.
Meeting at that Watercress Spring, we talked about how water was just absolutely sacred. In fact, if you read the history of Washington County, they talk about there was a 3-day jail sentence if you wasted water.
Wow.
And they were saying that there were a lot of conflicts. Well, they said people would come out with their guns on their hips, you know, waiting for their water turn just to make sure the person before them didn't take more than their fair share. So it was definitely a contentious issue, but also something that they respected and honored. And I think that's what we continue to do in St. George. We respect and honor the place that we live in. We believe in taking care of it and preserving it. And that's part of the Dixie spirit.
Of course, I'm kind of joking that we, you know, enforce water, but I have had Zach, our water district general manager, Zach Renstrom, say there are some people that, you know, it's graded so the price, you get charged more the more you use. And there's some people that don't care. They're like, I don't care. You can charge me more. It doesn't matter to me. And that is, to me, that's a frustrating thing.
Yeah, unfortunate that people would take that avenue.
But so that's good to hear that water was safe. I mean, it really was here, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and the two original groups, so the Paiute Indians and the Mormon pioneers, if you look back at their history, they absolutely reverence the land and the animals and the people, and for them there's great respect for all of those things coexisting peaceably, right? And so respect for water is really in our history.
Did you guys learn anything? Well, I don't know, I didn't go to the presentations at Trex with you, but about Chief Toker, I guess he was very friendly to instead of being antagonistic with the Mormon pioneers that came down, he worked together with them, and that's kind of cool.
They may have spoken about that on the third tour. Okay. I missed the third of, I went to 3 of the 4 yesterday. So I do believe they talked about that on the third tour that I missed.
Yeah, Steve Snow made reference to the fact that really the pioneers would have had a really hard time surviving here if it wasn't for the Native Americans and really welcoming them and helping them to understand how to farm here because it's so challenging.
A little different. One of them that Brigham Young had sent down said no one should ever live here. He called it I forget the word he used, but he's like, yeah, this is not suitable for habitation. And now look at us.
Yeah. Actually, I think the quote you're thinking of was the one that Lyman Hafen used when he talked the other day. And yes, he just said it was uninhabitable, but he used more colorful language.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So, but like I said, now look at us. We're, you know, St. George is 100,000 strong. The county is over 200,000, and we're thriving, and we're trying to make it all work with the water things. But like I said, I love the fact that you've come up with Dixie Days. I remember Michelle first telling me about it. We've got Peach Days and Hurricane and Cotton Days in Washington and Swiss Days in Santa Clara. And we have what days in St. George? Well, we have Marathon. We have Senior Game, but those aren't really days. Those are so it's kind of a cool concept. Have you learned, Danielle and Shane, have you guys learned, like, maybe some tweaks that need to happen, that things that haven't worked? I mean, we're still early on, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll review it when it's over and decide if we want it to be a full week. You know, we really kicked off with a very large festival starting Sunday with talks about where the word Dixie, how it came to Utah. Steve Snow spoke at the Tabernacle about that. So we've done a full week, and that might be a little long for our staff to do every year to have such a very long festival. But we'll review that and decide.
Have you gotten any feedback from our friends over at the university about all of this? Because
the university has been a fantastic partner. Okay. They wanted to partner. They reached out when they heard about Dixie Days and said, we want to partner. We want to help as much as we can. And we love the university. We're grateful to be a university town, and we want to be good partners with them, and they want to be good partners with us. So no, it's just been, it's been a fantastic collaboration. In fact, the university, Utah Tech and Dixie Tech collaborated to create the logo.
Nice.
So
I wonder how there's this group in town, SWU, Southwest Utah Heritage Coalition, those people. I didn't mean to say it like those people. Ooh, those, no, I didn't mean that. What I mean is I would think that they would go, hey, look, an olive branch. You know, this is kind of cool that we can maybe bridge some of the unfortunate gap that was made a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I would hope so. So that's exactly what the point of this is bringing our community together. The mayor, that was really her drive in having this happen, was to bring the community together.
I will say this, too, about the university. Even though they did change their name, they still call it the Dixie Campus, and they made a point of doing that. And that's another olive branch. I think that's a good thing. So
yeah,
there are still people mad that they changed the name for good reason, but at least it's Dixie Campus now, and we still have that going for us. And Don Ibsen took a lot of abuse from some people about it, but I think Don Ibsen at least fought to keep that as part of it. So Dixie Day is going strong. Tell us what we have left now. We have got the rodeo, you mentioned.
We've got the rodeo. The rodeo's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay, so tonight, week. Tomorrow, and
yep.
Saturday.
All yep. right. So, and the rodeo parade on Saturday. And then Dixie Days, we have a festival all day Saturday at Town Square. Shane, isn't it from 10 to 6?
It is. It's 10 to 6, and we're going to have live music all day long. And then it'll culminate with a pretty big name, Chris Peterson, who is on AGT. He'll be the headliner at 6 o'clock. Nice. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to show a movie in the park. We're going to show The Electric Horseman. So it's, and almost everything down there is free. There'll be food trucks. I mean, obviously you have to pay for that, but we'll have hay rides. We're going to have a petting zoo, bounce houses. It's going to be a really, really fun party.
Shane, did I remember correctly that the mayor's having the carousel and those things free that day also?
That's right. Everything, yeah. all the city pool, the rec center, the train, and the carousel, the train down at Thunder Junction, they're all free on Saturday to help celebrate Dixie Days.
It sounds like the weather might be starting to cool down a little bit too. So, instead of 100 on Saturday, we'll be about 90.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, really nice. So, I saw some comments online about the Dixie Roundup, the rodeo. Some people say, this really diminishes from the rodeo. It de-emphasizes the rodeo. I'm just curious for you guys' thoughts on that.
I can tell you the thoughts from the Lions Club, who reached out and wanted to be part of Dixie Days, have been very excited to participate, have been great supporters.
Good.
So the Lions Club, they've been on board and actually part of the planning team for Dixie Days. So that was the whole point, was this would be the rodeo would be the culmination of Dixie Days.
Yeah, the two events really complement each other. And the whole impetus of putting Dixie Days at the time was to really celebrate what the rodeo had already started. So 90 years this year.
Yeah, it's a big year for the rodeo, yeah. 90 years.
Now, last night, not part of Dixie Days, though, you guys had a little tribute, a little Patriot Day, remembering 9/11. How did that go? I wasn't there. I had a previous commitment. How did that go?
It was beautiful, very emotional. Bob Flowers spoke. He used to be our police chief.
Yeah.
He actually started on the Utah Highway Patrol in the 1980s, like the same day my dad did. So I've known him for a long time, and he's a really wonderful man. And he spoke about the difference between what our connections were with each other before 9/11 and then how people came together after 9/11. So it was really kind of in the same spirit of the Dixie spirit, how we come together and help each other, even if we're not all alike. He talked about how there were people of all different political persuasions, but neighbors helping neighbors, and how that was really emphasized after 9/11.
Yeah, I think, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. I talked about this a lot yesterday, but I think our country needs a little bit reinvigorating as far as country pride. And, I don't know if you guys knew this, but enlistment in the services is an all-time low, a lowest percentage in the history of our country right now. Which, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't join the military, but I know that there are a lot of talented people who could join the military, and they're not for whatever reason now. So,
yeah.
But hopefully we'll get reinvigorated a little bit, and maybe, I don't know how you guys feel, but maybe with the changing of who's at the top, too, in this country. we'll see. Well, we know there's going to be a change.
I was going to say, either way, there'll be a change.
We don't know who it's going to be, but all right. I was going to ask you about the drone show. I thought it was going to last about a half an hour. So we came out to our vantage point to watch it at about 10 after, and it ended like 4 minutes later or five minutes later. It was a little shorter than I thought it was going to be, but it was spectacular.
Yeah, the drone show was fantastic. So the guy who did the drone show did it for us for free because he wanted to show, he wanted to celebrate Dixie Days, and he wanted to show what a drone show can be and show his talents. So we are so grateful to him for doing that.
It was mostly pretty much one guy and a computer program controlling the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was incredible. We've had a lot of positive feedback about it and people hoping that we do more drone shows.
I thought when they showed the state of Utah and then they put the heart where St. George is, I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah. They did the covered wagon. I don't know if you
the
got
climber.
To see. If you didn't get to see it, actually, Andy, the whole thing is on YouTube. And there's a connection on our city website so you can watch the whole drone
show.
Yeah,
it's on the last 5 minutes is about. So,
yeah, you'll have to go on and watch it. It's a lot of fun. And they have the music that it was choreographed to also on the YouTube video.
And it was fun being in the Sun Bowl with everybody. And when Dixie Days came up on the in the sky, everybody cheered. And when the St. George logo came up, everybody cheered. So, you know, the mayor really pointed it out, too, is that there's a lot of city pride here. And we love that.
Yeah, I actually live downtown, so I was able to watch it from my front balcony, and it was fun because I could hear all my neighbors. They were all outside, and everyone was cheering, and it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Now, Danielle, you grew up here, is that right?
I grew up in Salt Lake. My husband grew up here, but I've been here for 33 years. I've been trying to decide what the point is where I can say that I'm local.
You know, if you've been here longer than you haven't been here, I think that should count, and I would fit barely into that, too, because I've been here 30 years. I'm 58, so I just crossed the threshold. I think I'm a Dixieite now, I think.
Congratulations.
And you're there as well, right?
Yeah, I'm there.
So, Shane, how about you? How long
20 years down here.
20 years? Yeah. Okay. You're, that's not quite half, so you'll get there.
I'll get there, yeah. You'll get there. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you just don't leave. You're fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't leave. So, we're talking with Danielle Larkin, City Councilwoman for St. George City, and Shane Moore, who is the recreation, is it Parks and Rec Director?
Parks and Recreation. Parks and Community Services, yeah.
So you're in charge of not only the recreation part of it, but of making sure the parks are pretty.
Building the new parks. You make sure the parks maintenance is there, the recreation, and all the arts and events.
Yeah. And Shane's over the marathon. He really wants to plug the marathon today because we need some volunteers.
We need help.
Yeah.
We will talk about it. The other day we were doing a story about Boots Cox Park. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
And honestly, I've been in St. George 30 years. I've never been to, or I didn't even know where Boots Cox Park was. Now, a few listeners texted in and said, hey, you dummy. Well, they didn't say you dummy, but they said, hey, it's here. But tell us about this. Was it remodeled? Was it Boots Cox Park?
Boots Cox Park is actually one of our GO bond projects. Last year, when the voters approved the general obligation bond, we have money set aside to add some pickleball courts and a new playground down at Boots Cox Park. So I was just actually there yesterday, and it's such a cool park because there's very unique trees that are planted in there. So if you get a chance, go walk around it. It's a great little park.
You better tell people where it is.
Okay, so it's in the Old Farm subdivision down just below 900 South and about
900 East, 900 South, just south of there.
I think I've been to that park. I just didn't know it was called that, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of like across the street here. We just call that the Bluff Street Soccer Park. Well, it's actually Sandtown Park.
Yeah. That's right.
And most people are like, now where? What Sandtown? What is that? Where is that? So we know.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin this because I'm not sure I'm telling it exactly accurately, but I believe that Boots Cox owned a dairy.
Right.
And that was his dairy farm down there.
Yeah, somebody sent me some history on it, too.
Okay.
But I would have to look it up, and that would take a minute, and we're live on the radio, so I'm not going to do it right now.
I think it was the Cox Dairy.
So, awesome. Well, by the way, I live in Middleton. And Middleton Park is getting new playground stuff.
Yeah, you're getting a brand new playground here really soon. And this is one I'm really excited about. It has kind of a Forest Service theme, but it's just such a neat playground. So your kids there are going to love it.
Andy, some of your neighbors reached out to me about 2.5 years ago and started asking about a safe route to school because the kids in your neighborhood really had to walk out on the street to get to the bus stop. So that's something we've been working on in conjunction with your park remodel, is just making sure that the kids in your neighborhood can all get to your bus route safely.
Well, you know, it's funny because in a city this size, if people have questions or concerns – you know, in a city this size, you would think, oh, so it'll go through channels and it'll take a month. And but I have been so impressed with, you know, Michelle Randall comes on and you know, you guys over there at Parks and Rec and the city council, you guys, you get right on stuff. I like that. That's pretty awesome for a city as big as St. George's.
That's our job. If we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job. So it's our job to listen to people and try to get things done to make our city safe. So we do our best.
I mentioned to Michelle, this was probably a year ago, I said, you know, Middleton Forest Park, not Middleton Park, but Forest Park, which is right there in Middleton as well. I said, it's got a lot of overgrowth and I mean, it, one spark and that whole park's going to go poof because everything was dry and overgrown. And I'm within a week, there was a whole crew there cleaning up, you know, the ground cover and everything. And I was like, that's not supposed to happen that quickly and that well.
Well, you know, you're in the same room with the person who makes that happen. And he is amazing.
We really pride ourselves on being responsive and available. So when people want to call our office, you know, we always return phone calls. That's kind of our MO over there. And we try to get, you know, we really take a lot of pride in it. In fact, just to give our parks department a plug, I don't think there's a better group in the entire world. I travel a lot, and I've never seen a place that has cleaner restrooms or better taken care of parks.
Nice.
We're pretty spoiled.
Yes, we are. I will say this. I still hold my breath anytime the 4th of July, 24th of July, New Year's, when the fireworks are shooting around about Forest Park because it's right behind my house. And I'm like, oh, I hope that some little bottle rocket doesn't make its way over there and burn the whole place down. I love Forest Park.
I love that park, too, with the pond right there. And you have so much spectacular wildlife that visits that little pond.
Every once in a while, we have a turtle. Not a desert tortoise, but a water turtle that will end up in my yard. I'm like, you need to go back where you belong over by the pond because we're quite a ways from the pond. But every once in a while, one of those turtles comes up and says hi.
Honey, yeah.
So,
well, Andy, we did have a fire in one of our parks, the Brooks Pond Park, just, what was it, Shane, maybe 6 months ago?
We did, yeah.
And it was a pretty devastating fire.
Oh, that was just right up here, right?
Yeah, it was. And so, I mean, I just want to put in a plug for people being so careful when they use, if they're going to use fireworks, to be so cautious, because no matter what, we do live in the desert, and there's always such a high fire risk here, so.
I remember asking the fire chief, I'm like, shouldn't we just ban those kind of fireworks? And he goes, well, I'm never going to say that, because we tried that once, and people got them anyway, illegally, and it just, better to have them be legal and regulate them as best we can than to just say you can't have them because people are going to have them anyway. Yeah. So I guess we have a lot of that going on in this world. It's like, you know, high fructose corn syrup. We really shouldn't be consuming that as humans, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So, all right, we got to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have more with Danielle and Shane here on The Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I was reading a text. By the way, welcome back to The Andy Griffin Show. Danielle is here. Shane is here from St. George City. And when I first looked at it, it said, can you ask Dr. Larkin? And I was like, wait, doctor? I didn't know you had your doctorate.
I do not have my doctorate.
But then I looked closer, and there was just a D, not an DR. So, but it looked like Dr. Larkin at first. So, folks are curious about, you had a health situation while you were running a marathon. Tell us about that.
I did. I got to go with Shane and our team as part of our sister city, Ibagawa, this last November. We had a wonderful time there until we didn't. I decided to run the marathon while I was there.
You ran a marathon in Japan.
Because we were there for the marathon. Shane didn't run. Well, he ran when I've collapsed. I've heard. So we were running in the marathon, and I had cardiac arrest, so my heart stopped. But I was so lucky. There was a doctor right behind me, and they were able to do CPR on me really quickly. And I have a defibrillator now. I flew back to the United States and got a defibrillator.
So you were kind of dead for
I was kind of dead for a little bit, but I got to come back. So I feel very blessed and lucky. I am very blessed and lucky that I was able to come back. But
that is scary, Danielle. I know.
I had an electrical issue. Well, it's one of those electrical issues that you don't know you have until it happens. When you see, they were telling me, you know, there's been athletes that'll just drop on the court or in the field, and it's usually an electrical. It's called SVT, So supraventricular tachycardia. So that's what happened, and I'm doing much better. Now I have a battery to make sure that doesn't happen to me again. So a I'm just really, in, I have a battery pack right here in my chest. You can see this little square in my chest. So,
And a
Energizer
bunny.
It's, I'm like a little Energizer bunny.
You have a little remote control for it?
I wish I did. No? I wish I had an app on my phone so I could see what it's doing, but they won't let you look at the proprietary data. So.
My mom had a pacemaker before she died for a while. She wasn't that old, but her heart had slowed down. And I actually have a pretty slow heartbeat. My resting heartbeat is about 50.
Yeah.
And at night, it can go down below 40 when I'm sleeping.
That's how mine is, too. So mine actually is a defibrillator and a pacemaker. And my heart rate's really low like yours. So it bothers me because it will just start ticking. We're all old enough to know what it feels like to touch your tongue on a 9-volt battery. It feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you knew it was still good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to ask.
And you have some electronic equipment to help take care of yourself.
I know. Modern medicine is miraculous. And I have to give a plug for our hospital because the cardiac unit there, my doctor's name, Dr. Orm, they were absolutely incredible. Like, I had the best experience there.
In Japan.
Well, I had an amazing experience in Japan at the hospital also, to be honest. Yeah, they
sent
me home.
The one here you're talking about, yeah.
Yes, our local hospital, St. George
Regional. So what was the hospital like in Japan?
It was wonderful, actually. Was it? So that's another reason why I was lucky that it happened in the country where it did, because they have amazing medical care.
Really?
Yeah.
Had you been in, I guess, somewhere else, maybe not as advanced, you might be in trouble.
Yep, absolutely. So. Yeah, I got lucky in every way.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you, Andy.
Holy
That's very
smokes.
Nice.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And you were there? You watched it?
I didn't watch it, but one of our parks workers, Sadie Bassett, was there with Danielle, and she was running, and her husband, Darren, and they called me and said, hey, there's been an emergency, and... So then I wasn't planning on running, but then I started running.
You ran. Yeah.
Shane ran. Shane did a forced run.
Yeah.
That was very nice of you, Shane, to run for me. Thank you.
And, and then after, I got there a little late, the ambulance left, and I walked back around and they handed me the finish tape, the marathon finish tape. They wanted me to finish my job, and I was like, kind of out of it. And then they also handed me a bag of potatoes because that's what you give the winner.
A bag of potatoes.
Yeah. Yep.
The lucky bag of Japanese potatoes.
Bag of Japanese potatoes.
I'm going to take your... Yeah, I never heard that one.
Yeah. So. But we were just... And when we first saw Danielle in the hospital, and she was alert and awake and alive, and I think everybody was so relieved, and there were some tears shed, and we were just really thankful to... Hmm. It all worked out.
Was your husband there?
My husband was running right next to me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So he was really there.
When I collapsed,
right,
he laid me down on the ground. Yeah, so... Yep.
Wow.
He's got a little PTSD, but he'll be fine.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, you're the person you love most in the world collapses and has a heart attack. I could see that being traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
So, not to go off your health, but let's talk about what you guys learned out there in Japan. What was the purpose of the trip, and did you get what you wanted out of it?
So we have a sister city in Japan, and we've actually been doing a cultural exchange with them for over 30 years. Hmm. And we send students and a marathon delegation, and they send a city marathon delegation, and they help us finish our marathon and hold the finish line tape. And it's just a really beautiful thing. But the town of Ibigawa, Japan, is a really small rural area.
Okay.
And since we've had this exchange, we have groups of students that have gone, and they've had groups of students, and I run into people all the time, and it changes their life. And I felt the same way when we got back. I was like, that was incredible. It's a really fun opportunity, and actually the marathon itself pays for this, and then their marathon pays for theirs to come over. So it's a beautiful thing.
So we send our winners, our male and female winners, over. So we went with them, and then we went with this group of students. And it was just so much fun to be there with those kids. It's a beautiful country. The people are incredibly kind and generous. Just a beautiful experience all around.
Yeah, I've never met such a respectful, beautiful group of people. And I just, the 7-Elevens were crazy too.
Yeah, there's a 7-Eleven on every corner.
7-Eleven?
With things like coffee and beer in vending machines.
And they serve rice balls and egg salad sandwiches that are actually really good.
Yeah, in 7-Eleven.
Do they have a Bahama Mama and a Big Gulp?
They don't.
No.
It's totally
It's a lot healthier.
Oh man, that is well, it sounds kind of fun though.
It really cool. And, yeah.
Our marathon here is coming up. We're actually, what are we, 3-4 weeks away?
Like 20 some days. That's going to be on Saturday, October 5th. And we, this is our 48th year. So we're really excited. This is actually going to be one of our biggest years as far as runners. We have 8,500 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. That's isn't there, Danielle was saying it's usually capped, right? So that's a little more than usual.
A little more than usual, yeah. We've really, you know, we were able to find some charter buses, and I think we're going to be okay. But we really need some help. We need volunteers.
Okay. What are some of the areas where you would put a volunteer? Someone says, yeah, I just want to help. What can I do?
We have all kinds of jobs, but we have aid station jobs. Like during the marathon, that's one of the funnest because you get to see be right up and interact with the runners, help get them their water. We have expo jobs. You know, when down at the Dixie Center, we have our marathon expo, and we always need help putting that together. So there's jobs all week long before, and then there's day of race jobs. So we have all kinds of marathon opportunities for volunteers.
Andy, I want to say about our marathon, if you've never had a chance to participate, I really encourage you to volunteer and just be part of it, because it is truly like an emotional, and I would almost call it a spiritual experience to be part of our marathon. I mean, people, the things that they've done to train, there's so many people who have been through, like me, maybe a health scare, and then they've come back from that and they're running. There's people who have all sorts of disabilities that are able to actually finish our marathon. And people who have, you know, even emotional challenges they're overcoming that you can't see, and this marathon has helped them. I mean, it's just this really emotional and beautiful day. And our marathon's iconic. So it's just fun to be out there. The spirit, the feeling that you can feel in the air is just a lot of fun.
20th largest in the United States, top 20 marathon in the United States, and the largest municipal marathon in the country.
I've been lucky enough to cover the marathon for one of the media outlets that I've worked for over the years. I've probably been to the finish line maybe 20 or 25 times, a lot. I can tell you this, Danielle, you can relate to this because you're the opposite. After the marathon, I'm so inspired. I'm like, I'm going to do that next year. And then reality hits about the third day when I go out running, and I hit the wall at like 3/4 of a mile. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make 26. So, but I will say this, I have a lot of respect for people that do it. And it doesn't, one thing that you need to know if you are interested in this, unlike most people, Danielle, who can just, I'm going to go, yeah, I'll just do this one. Why not? Most of us have to train, and it takes a lot of time.
I have to train.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. It takes time. You can't just say, I'm going to do a marathon, and then, you know, day of, all right, I'm ready. You know, I mean, you really have to take it. And if you think about it, if you're going to say run 5 miles a day, you know, that's going to take at least an hour every single day, at least an hour.
Yeah, people have committed a ton of time and emotion to it. And there's a reason, because it feels great. It's it's a wonderful experience.
It's an incredible accomplishment. Yeah. I think people are just, it's something you never forget when you cross that finish line.
Absolutely.
Now, is Mettler, does he have a chance this year to win it? Because he's won it a few times, but...
He always has a chance.
Does he? You know, okay.
He's so fast.
He's looking strong this year.
He's looking really good, and he'll actually be in our Masters, so that's over 40 this year.
Oh!
For the first
time.
Did
he turn 40?
He did, yeah. So, but we have some really...
Does he still have the beard?
He does.
Because I'm thinking that's slowing him down. He needs to shave the beard off and he'll win.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll shave the head and the beard. And
make him more
streamlined. He's won it 4 times, if you can believe that. That's incredible.
Okay, now what if I want to volunteer? What if I want to help out? What do I do?
So just go to stgeorgemarathon.com or the City of St. George website, and you can, the volunteer page is right there. It's right up front. And you just click on it and you sign up, and there's all the jobs are listed right there.
So by the way, the St. George website, St. George City website is sgcityutah.gov. They had to change it last year. There's some new government requirements or whatever. So sgcityutah.gov. But the marathon has not changed.
Right. You can just go to stgeorgemarathon.com.
stgeorgemarathon.com. All right. Pretty cool. Well, we'll get another commercial break. Be back with Danielle and Shane after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports. Just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. We're talking marathon and Dixie Days, and we should probably talk rap tax a little bit too, right, Danielle?
Let's
this is back in your milieu, so to speak. What is the rap tax, and why does it matter?
It's the recreation, arts, and parks tax
that
the citizens voted on 10 years ago to put on. We had it on the ballot, and it is 0.1%. So if you spend $10, it's a sales tax. If you spend $10, it's one penny. So $100, it's 10 cents. And it's this really small tax that the voters get to decide if they want to pass that makes a big difference in our community for recreation, arts, and parks.
This is going to be on the ballot.
It'll be on the ballot this year.
Okay.
Yep.
There is a group out there that will say any tax is bad tax. Let's not do this. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think St. George area has resoundingly said, no, we want money for the arts. We want money for good trails. We want money for good, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, and this is one that's already been, you know, you've already been paying the sales tax. And the beauty of this one is it allows people who come into our area to help pay for our recreation, arts, and parks. Because everybody who spends money, sales tax, it's not on food.
Right. It's tourism related.
It's a tourism related tax, basically. So it's really helps other people who come into our community and use our recreation, arts, and parks facilities to help pay for them.
Yeah, when we have these 8,000 athletes come down to St. George for the marathon, all the money they're spending on hotels, Airbnbs, and eating out, all that money we get to keep right here to help our infrastructure. And really, the RAP tax is so important because it, for all the communities in Washington County, it fills in the holes of general fund budget.
You know,
we've opened two playgrounds, I think, in the last 2 months that were paid for by RAP tax. And so it's an incredible to have other people come to your town, and we benefit from that.
And we've got a call. Are you okay? You guys good with taking a call?
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, you're on with Annie, Shane, and Danielle. What's up?
Yeah, I've got three comments. First of all, I'd like to thank you for not caving into the war people on Dixie Day. I'm one of those who is not happy that college did that, but I just think part of the heritage. And I've lived in Idaho, California, Arizona. Never have I heard Dixie is a bad thing. But anyway, I went to the drone show. The bad thing was I was up on the west side by the D, just below, and you couldn't see it from the side. I didn't realize that. So next time I'll be on the south side where you can see it. You could see someone when they moved around, but like the covered wagon, you were at an angle at it, and you couldn't really tell, so to speak. The other thing I was going to say, you ought to put your ice cream and cookies on Dixie Days when it's warm. There are a lot of times in January when you have that ice cream and cookies that are so cold that I wouldn't get out of bed and go. But just a thought, just a thought.
He's
about
talking about our Heritage Day celebration in January.
Yeah. Yeah. Root beer floats up at our social hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
instead of January, do it.
We could put the ice cream and hot chocolate for you in January.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I love it all. But the drone show turned out good, and I'm glad that you're using the word Dixie. It's kind of neat that we're going back to our heritage and that type of thing. So just my thoughts is appreciate you guys, what you do and all that.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your support.
Bye. Yeah. Like I said, I think the drone show is a good idea. So my wife works, she's the executive assistant for Washington City. So she gets a lot of the inside numbers when it comes to like fireworks shows, you know, how much they cost and everything. And, you know, I think the general public would be like aghast at how much fireworks cost considering, you know, it's 30, 40 minutes on a holiday and then it's over and all that money is gone and all those fireworks are gone. And so a drone show is a renewable thing. And I don't know what it costs.
We're looking at the prices of it right now, but early estimates are that it's about half the price of a fireworks show.
And it's
which is maybe 50,000, you know, in comparison, the drone show would be more like 25. And those are just early estimates, so I'm not sure.
And you know, you go to like what happened in Provo this last year where there were fireworks shot into the crowd and people were injured and stuff. That would be gone. We wouldn't have to worry about that now. I'm not un-American. I'm not saying we should get rid of fireworks altogether. I love a fireworks show just as much as the next guy, but drone shows seem like the future.
Yeah, they nice both to have options. Their, yeah, right? Absolutely nice to have options. And they both obviously have their benefits and their drawbacks, and safety and fire issues being one of them with fireworks for sure.
So no sneak peek as to what will be in store for us in the future?
You know, honestly, no decision's been made. Okay. Just bids coming in on different ideas. And, I mean, this has been floated for a long time. So we'll see. Maybe a combination of both.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun to see it come to fruition above the whole St. George Valley. And, you know, I think for sure we'll, you know, we do actually a drone show to start the marathon. We just started it last year.
Oh.
So we have one at the half marathon and the full marathon. So, you know, it is definitely the future, and it's going to be fun to see it, you know, kind of evolve.
Yeah.
How many drones did they say they used for this show the other night?
230. Is that right, Shane?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact number. Somewhere in that range.
That's amazing. To be able to coordinate, and I guess it's a computer. He controls it all. He designs a program in advance, and they just do what he tells them to. Huh?
They're so creative too. It's really fun to work with the team. And a shout out to Mark Mortensen, our operation director for the city of St. George. He was actually the one who got it all going.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
It'll be interesting to see how much the public loved it, if it can or will replace fireworks, and what the future of that is, and. I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun.
It was cool, yeah.
My 5 minutes I saw. Maybe if we can figure out how to get to the last a little bit longer. That was my only complaint. Like, it's over already? Wait.
Part of that was that we were getting a free drone show. So
that's true.
When we're paying.
I'm assuming we can have. Well, and the other part of it actually is the battery life of the drones.
Oh, don't even think about that. Yeah
that's so true. They have to be able to have, as I understand it, 4 minutes of battery life left to be able to land.
Yeah, you got to get them down.
Yeah, that was one thing that was interesting, is how much regulation is with this.
Yeah. So.
Now my son had a drone with a camera on it. It was relatively large. It was probably a foot by, you know, it was 2 feet square, whatever that is. Maybe even a little bit bigger. So did you see them up close?
I didn't see them. Did you see them, Shane?
Last year at the marathon we saw them, and they actually are really big, like 2x2.
Really? Pretty big.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's really fascinating and interesting. I guess they have to be kind of big for people to see them, obviously.
Right.
And I don't know have you guys ever flown a drone? Have you ever with the camera on it? It's kind of a trip.
It is. It's like a video game in your hand.
Yeah, you're going up high and you're looking down on yourself and you're like, whoa, you know.
No, but I was running in a Ragnar race, and a guy who had just purchased a drone almost flew his drone into our running crew.
Oh man.
So there's that too.
So you've done some of the extreme races too, the big ones?
It was actually a Ragnar race with my neighborhood.
Oh,
we did
really?
It with a bunch of kids. We planned it about 10 years ago with a bunch of kids in our neighborhood, and it was a lot of fun.
Last year, my wife and I, for our anniversary, went to Moab, went up over Hurrah Pass and to this really remote cabin area, and they had an extreme race coming through that night. And these runners, I think it was a 50-mile or 70-mile or something one, and it was not on roads either. It was on these trails, and my wife and I were just like, I can't believe people do this. And one of the hard things was, so where we were, there was a cutoff and aid station, and if you didn't get there by a certain time, you were out of the race.
Yeah.
And so when that time came and then these other runners came through, they had to stay in this same area we were staying, and they were really sad because they didn't, and they needed a ride back because we were out in the middle of nowhere. And
My husband has done the Ironman most of the years that it's been here, and same story with Ironman. If you don't make those cutoffs, you can be literally 3 seconds off, and
you're done.
No
mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy cannot rob justice, right? Well, guys, thanks for coming on. We're out of time. Volunteers again, stgeorgemarathon.com.
stgeorgemarathon.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Shane. Danielle, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us.